I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. And today, I know I've been promising it for months now, but we're actually going to do a Q&A show. These shows are where I sit down with Kit O'Connell, the editor-in-chief of ministryofhemp.com and a buddy of mine, and we take your questions, your hemp, your CBD-related questions, and we answer them right here on the show. If you have questions, you can call the Ministry of Hemp question line. Notice I say question line. If you want to talk about ministryofhemp.com, then you got to email them. Don't call me, okay? But if you have questions, 402-819-6417 is the number to call. You can email me, matt@ministryofhemp.com, with your questions. You could shoot me an MP3 if you don't feel like calling. There's all kinds of ways to get in touch with us, and we love to answer your questions right here on the show. So, like I said, let's get to it. Here is our hemp Q&A. Kit, welcome to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. Always good to have you back for one of our Q&As. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it. It's fun to be back.
All right, let's get right into it. Here we go with our first one.
Yes, I'm taking the Clean Remedies 3000 mg full spectrum hemp extract, but when I get my blood work done, it shows THC in it, and I want to know if this is safe to just say as maximum strength, if this was a safe alternate. It helps me quite a bit, but then my doctor's really kicking it and wants me off of it. And what she says, it's not been lab tested, and we really don't know what's in it. And that would be my question, if how do we find out if
exactly what it contains.
What it contains, and so that I would really know what I am taking. But it does help quite a bit. It is very good for back pain, and I have some vertebrae bad in my back, and it works quite well and helps you rest at night also. But it is a back strength, 3,000 mg. I've been on it a while, but my doctor definitely wants to off of it. And it's Clean Remedies, 3,000 mg, full spectrum hemp extract. Natural flavor. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
So it sounds like our friend is taking the Clean Remedies. He's saying 3,000 milligrams, which sounds kind of high to me, but could be a big bottle, I suppose. He's worried because there is some THC that pops up in his blood work, and his doctor is telling him, you don't know what's in that, and it's not lab tested. So what can we say to our friend to help him out here? Give him a little info, maybe. Whenever you're
ready. Let's just start there. Yeah. So first of all, just to mention, we're not doctors.
We are not doctors.
Your doctor's the expert on your health.
Can't say that enough.
We're not.
Definitely.
The other thing to mention is that CBD is currently completely unregulated, which means there's nobody behind the wheel from a government perspective that's making sure that this is exactly what's advertised. Now, I also want to emphasize there's hundreds of CBD brands out there, so we haven't actually evaluated Clean Remedies. I did take a peek at their website before coming on the show, and I saw that they say that they offer lab tests for their products. So theoretically, you could look up their lab tests and see what's in it. But we do our own lab tests most of the time whenever we can on products we review. And that's because we've sometimes found products that don't match what's advertised. So that's not directed at Clean Remedies or anyone in particular. It's just a general statement that you know, sometimes things don't match up.
Right. And we're not going to speak to anything we don't know about. So.
So the thing you mentioned, okay, so you mentioned it was 3,000 milligrams. Now that is strong, but it is possible to get that strength in a tincture. That is what we consider a high potency tincture, which just means it's a strong dose of CBD, which is fine. So that's, you know, I take a lot of CBD every day myself. I use high potency tinctures.
So do I.
But the thing to, yeah, exactly. So the thing that I mentioned is you mentioned it's a full spectrum. And what full spectrum means is it has tiny trace amounts of THC in it. So legally, it can only have...
It's like 0.3%, right? A tiny amount.
Tiny amount of THC. But it's true, though, that if you're taking a high-potency tincture regularly that's full spectrum, you are consuming these tiny amounts of THC. You're never going to feel high, most likely. Almost no one on the planet would feel high.
But it's also
true. It's possible that it's going to...
It's also true that, like, if the THC is not in there, then it's not full spectrum.
Right, exactly. It's only what we consider broad spectrum or an isolate. So you're taking something that's advertised as having tiny amounts of THC, and what that means is that if you're taking that high potency especially, it is possible to show up on a drug test when you take full spectrum.
Sure.
So you're not feeling high, but you are taking enough THC that it's going to trigger this drug test that you got from your doctor. So, you know, with that said, you can, you know, consider switching to a broad spectrum product to see if that's a concern of yours, if you want to make sure you're getting no THC at all. On the other hand, it's something you could also just talk to your doctor and find out what, you know, their concerns are and try to address them and say, you know, here's a lab test for my product. You know, or I've switched to these products that, you know, have been lab tested.
Right.
That's an option, you know, but at the end of the day, it is really, you know, you and your doctor are going to have to make a decision about what's best for your health. CBD is considered extremely safe on the whole, but obviously there are exceptions. There's even rare cases where it can interact with certain prescription medicines. So it's just something, you know, you need to talk to your doctor, do your research, make sure you're choosing a brand that is good. We have some guides on our site to picking a quality CBD brand. Or, of course, we've picked some CBD brands on our site that we think are great. But even then, you know, you still want to talk to your doctor and make sure it's okay with them.
And also, like we said, we didn't necessarily know Clean Remedies. That doesn't mean that they're not legit. Contact them. Ask for those lab results. And if they are upfront about it and they give them to you, chances are they are legit. If they're weird about it and they don't, you might want to look into somebody else who will. Just so you do know what's
in it. And when I went to their website, I saw that they have QR codes apparently on their bottles.
That's
so
great.
You may just be able to scan it with your smartphone, that QR code, and get right to the lab test for your product. So you could try that, and that might give you some education right there.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
Feel free to reach out by email if you have other questions about what you're finding out. I'm happy to try to talk a little bit more. Hopefully, you and your doctor can come to a good agreement.
And thanks a lot for the call. That was a good one. I think we have another doctor-related one back-to-back here. This one is really interesting, too.
Yeah, I had a quick question for you guys. My wife has an autoimmune disease, and she sees a specialist for it, but she also was recommended to a pain doctor. So we went to the pain doctor, and in his initial visit, he asked if my wife had used THC to, like, self-medicate. And my wife, being the honest human that she is, she said yes. And he said that the only way that he would continue to take care of her or have her as a patient is if she agreed to do a drug test with every visit. And he threatened is a heavy word, but said if there was any THC on the test, he would instantly stop all of her pain medication and her prescriptions and would no longer keep her as a patient. I guess my wonder is that legal? Like, is he allowed to threaten that? We're in Nebraska. I don't know if that makes a difference, but super curious to see, like, if that is even legal. Fear not. We have since then moved on to a better pain doctor who on the first visit said, hey, have you tried THC? And she said, yes. And he said, hell yeah, keep doing that.
Cool.
Let's see if we can work with that. So I guess just for my peace of mind, is that other doctor allowed to do that? Thanks, man.
This is a fantastic question. And honestly, I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, it probably comes down to the doctor's decision, but is that legal to make a decision like that and say, I will ditch you as a patient if you are doing this?
Unfortunately, it absolutely is legal.
Really?
It is legal. So there's things to talk about here. First off, at Ministry of Hemp, we talk a lot about the hemp side of things, but we support the whole plant. We believe all forms of cannabis should be legal and accessible for people coast to coast. But remember, it's important to remember that though hemp has been legalized, the cannabis is not yet the kind that has THC that makes you feel high.
Right.
Still not legal at the federal level. And I took a quick, again, I'm also not a lawyer here, but I took a quick look at Nebraska's law, and it's not legal there either. Something important to keep in mind there that while you, if you possess misdemeanor amounts of cannabis there, there's some fairly low penalties on your first offense. But if you're caught with like vape oil or dabs, it's a felony, a really serious felony in Nebraska.
Yeah, which is
so
just
it's still against the law there.
Ridiculous.
It's offensive. It's true in Texas too. If you're caught with certain kinds of cannabis with flower, it's usually relatively low penalties, but the dabs, they can go after you for felonies here too. And that's a common thing. It's ridiculous. It's offensive. It ruins people's lives needlessly. As far as your doctor goes, this is something I know about because I have chronic pain issues myself. I have fibromyalgia. I've researched this quite a bit. This is what's called a pain contract. So certain pain doctors, this is when you have serious pain and you go to a specialist whose job is to help you with pain. And some of them, like you said, you found one that does not, and I'm really glad to hear that. Really glad. But some of them do require this pain contract. And I think the idea behind it maybe is benevolent in that it's meant to curb abuse. They don't want to take on patients who are dealing with unchecked addictions.
Sure. Like it makes sense with opioids. I get that. If you're going to say, look, you have a pain issue and I am going to give you opioid pain pills, I understand. But what does that have to do with THC? This doctor has to know. And even like CBD with trace amounts of THC, this doctor has to know it's not habit forming. It's not addictive. And it just blows my mind that there's doctors out there that would treat it the same way they would treat an OxyContin. It seems nuts.
I mean, unfortunately, it is nuts. Unfortunately, like reefer madness is not fully gone, especially in the medical profession. You know, I don't want to make any excuses from this doctor, but it's important to remember that it is still theoretically possible for doctors to get in trouble for recommending cannabis use for their patients.
Right.
I don't know of cases where it's happened, but it's still theoretically possible, again, because cannabis is still federally illegal. But that doesn't mean the doctor has to go this far. It really is up to them. This is fully legal, and not just legal, but unfortunately, it's still relatively commonplace. There are a lot of people out there who need access to opioids because of their chronic pain issues. And they basically, you know, they may not be able to find a doctor who is as understanding as the current doctor that your wife is seeing. And some of them are having to make a choice between, you know, THC and opioids, even though they know that both could help.
Right.
And they're making the choice, a lot of them, to keep that pain contract and not use THC and maybe even avoid CBD just because of the threat of having their prescriptions cut off. And I hope that changes and more doctors become educated about this, because it's 2020, for goodness sake.
No doubt. Fellow Nebraska boy, thank you for your call. And I'm sorry about our red state and what we have going on with our government and medical system, unfortunately. But I'm glad you found a cool doctor, and I'm glad your wife is not suffering. That's good news. Okay, let's move on here. Got a question about vaping and COVID-19 here.
Hey, Matt, love your podcast. I just have a question about COVID-19 and vaping. I read in the news that, like, smokers are more susceptible to getting COVID-19, but Is that true for vaping CBD? Like, does that still apply to people who vape as well? Let me know. Looking forward to hearing. Bye.
It's an excellent question. Very poignant right now, I think. Do you know anything on this one, Kit?
I don't think we know the answer. From a scientific perspective, there have been a lot of studies showing that tobacco and nicotine separately and, you know, cannabis, they all seem to have sort of different effects on the lungs, even though all of them do, you know, contain, well, I mean, you know, like any type of smoke is always to have some, you know, bad health effects.
Right.
Inhale any kind of smoke. In theory, vaping is easier on your lungs. But, you know, that's one of those things where the science is still being determined.
Right.
You know, it seems like vaping, as long as you're using it from a legal and reputable brand, is relatively safe. But we just really don't know, as far as COVID-19 is concerned, like what affects the lungs. They're learning so much so fast. Every day they're finding some new thing about this novel coronavirus, some new way it affects our bodies. So I don't think we can even speculate about a lot of those things yet. I would say, you know, moderate your use. And if you're worried about it, it's not a bad idea to switch to a CBD oil or a topical or something else that maybe helps you out. If there's other forms that can help, see if those are good ones to experiment with while we're dealing with this crisis and until we're totally sure about the answers to those questions.
And again, we're not doctors, of course, but it does seem like right now when you're dealing with a virus that affects your lungs, anything that stresses your lungs in any way, probably a bad idea. And just play it
definitely
safe.
Definitely say it to, you know, if you are showing symptoms, if you do have it, obviously you shouldn't be smoking or vaping anything.
Absolutely.
While you're actively sick. As to whether it increases your risk, I think we just don't know the answers right now.
Yeah, but it just can't hurt to play it safe. You get your CBD from a tincture, get it from gummies. We have all kinds of wonderful products that you can find on Ministry of Hemp right now that are fully vetted and are awesome. And that is not to say that vaping is dangerous, but maybe it's better not to take that chance right now. You know?
Yeah, we just all got to make those choices and wear risks. I agree.
All right, moving right along here.
Hi, thanks for your awesome podcast, first of all.
A lot of love today. This is great.
So much. I was just calling. When I was a kid, my parents, right or wrong, used to rub like booze or whiskey or whatever it was on my gums. And I now realize, you know, as an adult, that's not probably wise. but I have a 1 year old that is, killing us overnight, teething. And I'm trying to find any solution I can. Wondering if, is CBD, is it safe? Can I do that? It feels like it would be a wise move, but, I'd love to get the facts before I, accidentally damage my child for the rest of his life. Thanks so much again, and looking forward to hearing your response. Cheers.
So this comes from the Irish book of parenting that I grew up with. My you know, my Irish mother definitely did that when I was teething. Is it safe to rub CBD on your teething child's gums to ease pain?
I would say we really don't know, and that I would say don't do it. You know, CBD is believed to be very safe, but, you know, the way CBD works, to get nerdy for a second, of course, is to interact with this specialized part of our nervous system called the endocannabinoid system. And we know that taps into just about every part of our body. And the current wisdom is, you know, it's not a good idea to give any kind of cannabinoid to developing bodies in general. We just don't know enough about how it affects young brains or nervous systems or bodies because of how pervasive cannabinoids travel through the whole body. We just don't know what that would do. You know, you're applying it to the gums, but some of that is going to absorb into the bloodstream. And especially with such a small child, I wouldn't even know how to guess a dosage.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's another situation where, just like we said with the last thing, where there just isn't enough information yet. There's a very solid chance it's fine, but we don't know. And when we don't know, it's probably better to play it safe, lose a little sleep, and, you know, he's going to get through it. The teeth are going to come in whether you like it or not, you know, and it sucks right now. And I'm sorry that you're losing sleep over it, but we just don't know. So it's probably better not to.
Exactly. Yeah. I would just say in general, like, you know, we've all kind of heard the stories about CBD being given to kids with epilepsy, for example, like Charlotte.
Right.
Who, of course, we sadly lost a few weeks ago. But when that's done, that's an emergency situation where nothing else is working for these kids who have severe epilepsy. And working with doctors that are open-minded about cannabis and hemp, they're treating their kids, or because they just have no other options, they're treating these very severe conditions with CBD. And so just in general with kids, we have to look at CBD as a last resort kind of thing, like that, where when nothing else is working, and it's not part of the normal development process like teething is, sadly for your sleep deprivation.
Absolutely. It's a great question though. And I like where his head is at, but play it safe. You know, there's children's Tylenol and like that.
Thanks for the love, too.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, this next one is a question about dogs and hemp. Not necessarily CBD, but hemp.
Hi. I have an older dog who I have given CBD to help with her pain in the past. And I was just wondering, do you think it's safe to give my dog hemp incorporated into her diet? Thanks.
So this is a person who has an older dog that's had some pain and has given them CBD. Like, I have an older dog that I've given CBD, but they want to know about incorporating hemp into the dog's diet, which I'm not a veterinarian. We have to say we're not doctors a lot. Let's also state that we're not veterinarians. First time. I do make my own dog's food, and I have worked with my own veterinarian and looked at some stuff online to create a recipe. I used to be a chef. I mentioned that a lot. I know. So I figured I could figure out how to make raw dog food, which is good for dogs. One of the things about making raw dog food is that there is no grain involved, because dogs can have a sensitivity to grain, and dogs typically don't eat grains. So while it may not hurt your dog, I don't really see any reason to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I can see CBD, I get, but incorporating just hemp into your dog's food, I don't know if there's a good reason to do that. And I would say, I mean, talk to your vet, of course, but there are a lot of dogs that are very sensitive to grain and have allergies because of it. And when you take them off dog foods that have grain in them, all of a sudden, they stop scratching, they stop farting and whatnot, you know, and they'll lose weight, they'll lose bloat and stuff like that. So I would say introducing a grain into your dog's diet that's not already there doesn't really have any benefit. Kit, do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, there is a movement to make hemp a part of animal feed, but I haven't heard it in reference to dogs necessarily.
Right.
Cattle. It's more about like horses and other animals that are more omnivorous dogs are more omnivorous than cats. But, you know, the one benefit that isn't hemp, of course, is you have the high level of omega-3s and stuff. But I think that a lot of, you know, carnivores are going to get that in better sources from things like fish or other meats that they're going to get those amino acids from. You know, so talk to your doctor. I don't think it would hurt them, but I haven't heard a lot of talk about it being hugely beneficial for dogs. If you are a veterinarian or an animal nutritionist, please write in if we're wrong about this. I'd love to know.
I would love to hear about it too. I know that the dog that I had, that my previous dog, but had some weight issues and also had like flatulence issues and stuff like that. And when we moved him to raw dog food and removed all grain from his diet, those things disappeared, all but disappeared. And this was under, like, our my vet said to us, well, let's take him off of, you know, a grain diet and move them on an all protein diet. So I don't know. I'm basing it off of my own dog. And again, not a veterinarian, but it doesn't seem like there's ever a time where it's a good idea to introduce more grain into a dog's diet. I love the idea of feeding hemp to horses, to pigs, to cows, to chickens. That makes sense because those animals benefit from that. I just don't know that like a dog or a cat would see that same benefit. If we're wrong, let us know, please. Again, not veterinarians, but this was great.
Yeah.
You guys had some fantastic questions today.
Yeah.
These were really good. These are some of the best we've had, actually. I really liked this one.
Yeah, this was fun. Some great, really interesting questions. Thanks for writing them, calling in with them, and please keep calling.
Definitely. Kit, thank you for joining me and walking through this. Again, the Ministry of Hemp will not be held accountable for any legal or medical opinions you heard here today. We are not lawyers. We are not doctors, but we do love to answer your questions. And please, keep them coming. This is why we do these shows.
Yeah, for sure. This is really fun. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for joining me, Kit. You can find our previous Q&A shows over at ministryofhemp.com/podcasts or anywhere you download your favorite podcasts. And you can also find a really cool video called Meet the Editor that stars our very own Kit O'Connell there, too. Thank you again to everybody that called in today. We had some really cool questions. I really appreciate the animal stuff, and I'd like to talk more about animals and hemp on the show, definitely, and look for more of that to come soon. And like I said at the beginning of the show, if you've got questions, call me, 402-819-6417. That is the Ministry of Hemp question line. Or shoot me your question in an email to matt@ministryofhemp.com. Matt with two T's. I'm not cool enough to only have one. I also want to thank all of our Ministry of Hemp insiders that have been helping us out and spread the message. If you go to patreon.com/ministryofhemp, you can become an insider as well by donating any amount. You'll get podcast extras, you'll get early access to articles, and you'll get stuff that's not even on the site. It's really cool, and you can't believe how much it helps us. Seriously. If you believe in hemp and you believe in our message, please head over to Patreon and check us out there. You can follow us on all of our social medias, /Ministry of Hemp, @Ministry of Hemp. We are all over the place, and we're constantly putting out hemp content. Speaking of hemp content, over at ministryofhemp.com, we've got a really good article about 5 things to look for when buying smokable hemp flower. I just spoke to a few different people about hemp flower recently on the show, and you can find those episodes in the podcast section of ministryofhemp.com. Here at Ministry of Hemp, we believe that an accessible world is a better world for everybody, so you can also find a complete written transcript of this show in the notes at ministryofhemp.com. All right, I'm done talking about the website. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. And I like to end every show by saying, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp Podcast, signing off.